It happens
Absolutely.
to
And
all of them.
you can only work with what your present condition is.
Exactly.
And every single athlete, every single weekend warrior, every single parent, kid, elderly person, the body goes through hard times. I mean, it just goes through hard times. So when we actually work with a team, we get data capture at two of the peak times for performance issues to occur. And I say that because sometimes we'll be working with an injury, sometimes we won't be. So those performance issues occur during preseason and during midseason. So we will get data during those two sessions, and we will make sure that the athletes are set up with a movement plan and the coaches are aware of it for the remaining part of the season. So,
So when you say a movement plan, do you mean as in adjusting their stroke technique, or what do you mean by a movement plan exactly?
Yes, so technical changes as well as muscular activation and strengthening changes. So let's say that butterfly athlete that you have is experiencing shoulder pain, right? But we go through and we do our thing, and we realize that that shoulder pain is really just the expression of symptoms that are the result of a dysfunction in her hip complex, right? And it turns out that the actual issue is at her hip complex and her core stabilizing area. And basically, the water's winning, right? Going back to that environment, the water's winning, and she's needing to do way too much work at the shoulder.
As in when you say the water's winning, she's actually fighting the water instead of using it to her
Fighting
advantage.
correct. That external environment is winning against the internal musculoskeletal environment. We will make sure that technical changes have been made to her stroke to support that change, as well as land-based exercise and in-water training as well. So we have corrective exercises that happen in the water that we make sure our athletes know how to do during warm-up and during rest sessions in between each set. And we make sure that they are set up with that so that the body can remodel itself over the next coming weeks and handle the training. And then come back again during midseason when the body is starting to fatigue. And whether those changes need to support a performance issue, maybe they're starting to gain time, maybe they're starting to fatigue early, maybe they're starting to have problems sleeping, whatever it is. Or if symptoms persist. Maybe that shoulder pain came back. So that's how we actually utilize the data, and we make that accessible throughout the entire training experience. Again, different than a boutique, come in once and then go about your way. So yeah, that's how we use it.
So currently you're looking at providing three different levels of certified aqueous professionals, is that right?
Yeah, so we do have a platform for education. We are currently on hold with that. We worked with some really great clinicians and great coaching, and we're right now spreading the word about getting more involved with the athletes and then supporting the coaching staff with that education. But certainly, we have some growth goals with that. But yeah, so we do have a platform that supports the education to the masses. But right now, the way that we're utilizing that tool is to provide it to the coaching staff once we become involved with the team.
Because I mean, I must admit, the tyranny of distance and all that that entails, anything I can learn from a coaching perspective to try and prevent injury before it happens.
Yes.
Ideally, say for example, you have a swimmer that's the age of 13, and he or she is really quite good at, for example, butterfly. You really don't want to flog them with butterfly for the next, 4 years
No.
to get them to Olympic level. So, for the 4 years of doing butterfly, that's their shoulders will be an absolute mess. So moving forward, from my perspective as a coach, I want to be able to know that I am, conditioning them and training them and using the best techniques possible to actually progress them forward so that they're not only just good at butterfly, for example, but they're also good at their IMs as well. And so they can perform, a 200 or 400 butterfly, but they can also do a 200 individual medley without having to worry of, oh God, their shoulder's going to blow out. Oh no. So
Well,
it's
and
good to
that
know.
goes back to that movement plan as well, is that even though we have four separate strokes, we don't have four separate bodies, and we do have very similar kinematic chains that are involved across all four strokes. So if we see a dysfunction in one of the chains, and a good example would be, let's say we're having shoulder pain, and we go in and find out that it's actually an issue at the lat as well as the mid trap and the diagonally hip external rotators, right? That is our kinematic chain. That is going to have a huge crossover between the strokes. So if we don't fix that, if we don't address that, of course there's going to be an issue with the IM and not just butterfly. And of course there's going to be an issue at the end of a training practice or a training week, because that's ultimately what we need to address.
So, in your experience so far to date, have you found any standout sort of problems, or have you found anything that you've seen as a within your, I suppose, the American culture of swimming that are glaringly obvious problems from your research? Like, is there a culture of bad knees for breaststrokers? Is there a culture of bad hips or, freestyle butterflies? Is there a bad culture of shoulders? Is there anything like that that really pops out at you currently?
Yes, in the States, I will say that we have an underdeveloped culture of seeking new expertise. We still actively have to fight a culture of, well, we've done this, we've done this for 30 years, and our team has three Olympians, and that makes us the best team ever.
It's, trust me, it's not just the US. I'm sure a lot of places around the world go, well, this is the way it was always done, so this is the way it's gonna be done.
Yeah, we that is our that's our big fight. We also have a huge fight against what's the best way to say it? Against the understanding of a specialty in sports science and an understanding of having someone that, has gone through 8 years of education to understand the human movement as opposed to a coach. And I like I said before, that's not speaking poorly of a coach by any means. That's recognizing that there are specialties to each profession and they are separate professions. So that's a big hurdle that we see. And I think particularly after spending an extended time in England and learning their performance culture and their healthcare culture, I think sometimes the fact that each one of our teams is a separate business, or there is a separate business running the teams, and it's up to the parents to supply both healthcare and performance and training, and it falls on the family to pay for it. That brings its own set of issues. That really does, because obviously if your household is struggling to pay health insurance and put food on the table, and you're lucky enough to swim, you're not going to have the funding to be able to go and have performance training. So I think there are a few challenges that we see. I think particularly, shoulders are just, everyone wants to talk about shoulders. And what we see time and again, from working with shoulder surgeons, from working with physiotherapists, from working with athletic trainers, the shoulders are typically the symptomatic shoulders are typically the result of a problem as opposed to the problem itself. Very rarely do I see subacromial impingement or scapular impingement, or I'm sorry, supraspinatus impingement, and I say, okay, that's the problem. very, very rarely.
Mm.
And you know, I've said it before, I've gotten some backlash, but this is definitely where I stand. I think swimmer's shoulder is kind of a clinically laissez-faire, clinically lazy diagnosis. And it's typically swimmer's shoulder is typically the result of an issue within the diagonal chains, within the posterior chains, and within the stroke cycle, as opposed to an issue at the tendon and ligament structure.
So just on that, excuse me. So just on that, I must admit, I am a butterfly, passionate. I love butterfly. I used to swim as a kid, and I just lived for doing 100 fly or 50 fly. It was my dream to be able to do that sub 30 seconds. Never quite got there. Just got old and fat for some of the rest. But anyway, we won't go down that road. But so do you find with that in particular, is like you see some kids will actually, for lack of a better word, chop into the water, so they actually their hands will actually force into the water, and then you see an Olympian such as Phelps or Lochte or somebody along those lines that their hands will actually come around outside the water and their thumbs will literally nearly touch and then drop. Do you find either one of those two methods helps their shoulders, or what actually happens within the shoulder compared to those two sort of different techniques?
I might have to change my answer to the culture problem. We have a huge culture problem with athletes trying to mimic videos they see on YouTube. We have a huge problem with that. I
I
can't tell
must
you
admit,
how many.
I will stick my hand up and say, yes, I am guilty of showing my kids.
Yes.
Hey, guys, this is what the Olympians are doing. You need to change your focus. You don't see Olympians that are chopping into the water. What's
I think what I can say to that point is we all must remember that those Olympians have a physiotherapist on staff, probably
Very
a chiro,
true.
a massage therapist, a sports scientist, and a performance enhancement coach, and I
And
guarantee you that every single one of them talks to each other.
Some sort of cupping specialist in one
Yeah,
athlete's case.
oh my goodness, the cupping conversation, yes.
Hasn't that
Whoever's
exploded?
selling cupping products, I mean, your
Oh,
business must be through the roof right now, so enjoy it.
exactly. Oh, yeah.
Yes, so to answer that question, I think, you know, we see a lot of technical skill coming from the Olympians for sure, without a doubt. But you have to do what's right by the body in front of you. And I think that's really what it comes back to, is that if you made a technical change and you said try to be like this swimmer and it's not working, then you have to listen to that.
So
I
you're
think,
saying it needs to be a more along their physiological type
yes.
rather than a one solution fits all.
Yes, because I guarantee you this, I guarantee you that the Michael Phelps of the world have their own physiological, anatomical issues that they deal with. And if we take a look at, you know, Rod Haverlip from Swimming Technology Research, he's done his entire career has been about measuring hand force production in athletes. And we time and again have so much data showing that they have flaws in their strokes, right? They have flaws in their stroke cycle. They have flaws in their training. They have huge teams within each specialty working with them. So they have their flaws, and they find the best way to train within those flaws and overcome them the best way possible. So the stance that we take and the way that we incorporate it with Aqueous is we make that experience accessible and available to the athletes as well. So that 13-year-old butterfly, right? Depending on their anatomy, you know, if they bring their hands closer to each other, closer to the midline, and they happen to have a certain level of scapular movement across their thoracic cage, and they happen to have a certain amount of control across their rhomboids, mid-trap, lats, and that activation pattern happens at the right time, that might be really successful for them. My guess is a 13-year-old does not have that type of of body awareness. So there are ways that in which we support a similar technical change with respect to the body, and that comes back to the anatomy and understanding when a joint works at its best, when a muscular is activated at its best, how to coach with cues that actually make the athlete more aware of their body, better proprioception, better understanding of activating things. And I think that is, again, going back to that question of this challenge of coaching, I think empowering our coaches with better cues is something that we do really well. So let's say you and I are on deck together. I can show you exactly what I just saw and say, okay, when you're coaching this athlete or when you're coaching any athlete and you see this in the water, this is the cue you want to say, right? As opposed to kicking your hips, we can say, go and do this cue when you see this happening in the water, this
that
cue
when
they're playing through the pain.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that's how we handle that. Yeah, because otherwise, right? I mean, YouTube's great.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's the main education source. And you don't hear the conversation happening between the physiotherapist and the coach. And I guarantee you that's happening.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like to most coaches that actually listen to this, they will have looked at the Speedo series of swimming technique, or they'll have looked at Ghost or they'll have looked at something like that and gone, oh, okay, yep. Well, my kids have got to get their shoulders forward more, and they've got to, you know, they've got to have their palms up further round through their stroke, or they've got their hips up through the stroke, you know. And I'll admit, I'm one of those coaches that's gone, well, hang on a second, the Olympians are doing it this way, so they're spending all the money, all the time, all the research, doing it a particular way. Let's do it their way. Let's just follow what they're doing. But at the physiological time of the athlete, it might not be cohesive to do it that way.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Wow. Oh, look, Jenny, if I had the money to follow you out to my squad, I'd do it within a heartbeat. This is awesome. I'm loving this. This is great. So, moving
on. Oh, well,
on.
I certainly appreciate that. And I, you know, hopefully with enough listeners, we could get that put together because I'd love to come out and work with your athletes. You know, sometimes there are ways for us to do it virtually. So I'm sure this won't be the last time you and I speak. And I'm just so excited to help you get this platform off the ground.
Thank you. When
we were talking in the pre-show, you said, you know, four coaches, by coaches, four swimmers, by swimmers.
Exactly.
And I just love that. So I look forward to speaking again. And
no, that'd be great. So
I want
so just
to have a quick chat about any of this. I'm always available. You can find my contact information through aqueous.co. And I read all my emails. So I'm the one that answers them. I read them. So please feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to have another chat with anyone.
Look, absolutely. And I'll put all your contact details on the podcast and on the video. And
awesome.
On the website. And it'll all be there for anyone to contact you whenever. So just winding up, if you were to see a young coach on the side of the pool, what would be some bits of advice you could?
Oh, goodness, that is such a good question. I love working with young coaches because they're hungry and they don't have an ego yet. And I think, you know, I think when I think there's a negative connotation when we talk about ego, and that's not how I mean
look,
it.
I know, but I'm
I think
there are a lot of coaches out there that will go, it's my way or the highway. So
right. I think,
but anyway, as you were saying.
I think when you're young, I think when you're young and you're hungry and you're of this generation that has access to podcasts and to sports science education and to continuing education, and this is very much where the industry has grown. I mean, the sports medicine and human performance industry grows at an incredible rate over the last 5 years and is positioned to grow billions and billions of dollars over the next few years. When you grew up in this culture and you have access to this, I have found that the young coaches are hungry to have these conversations and hungry to bring the best to their athletes. So I think the best advice I could say is to stay hungry and keep reaching out and keep getting educated and keep having the conversations that, you know, stem from, you know, why do we do this? And what if we did this? And I love the question, what if we did this? Because that keeps us all creative and it keeps us all asking questions. And yeah, that's how progress is made. Yeah.